Morning, church. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 84. Hymn number 84. 84. We'll sing the first, the second, and the fourth verse of this hymn. Number 84.
Dread not the things that are ahead, the burdens great, the sinking sand, the thorns that o'er our path are spread. God holds the future in His hand. God holds the future in His hand. And every heart He understands. On Him depend. He is so great. He holds the future in His hand. We know not what tomorrow hides, but some of tomorrow good or ill. We only know His dear hand guide, and He will be our Father still. God holds the future in His hand, and heart He understands. On Him depend. He is your friend. He holds the future in His hand. Live close to Him and trust His love. For sure that while on earth we roam, whatever may come, He bids above. To God, His children safely home. God holds the future in His hand, and every heart He understands. On Him depend. He is your friend. He holds the future in His hand.
For opening prayer this morning, if you will please take the supplemental hymn books and turn to hymn number 9, hymn number 9, and our supplemental hymn books.
Be sweet, I know. Be sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise, strong winds may blow. Wherever I go, that I have found the Savior, and He's sweet, I know. I know my Jesus, He's been my friend. Promise me your mansion if I'm faithful to the end. Others may forsake Him, and in their way they go. But I have found the Savior, and He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know.
Let us bow. O kind and merciful Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for another day, another invitation to salvation offered to all who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thanking you so much, Father, that He made all things possible. He gave His life so that we might have a life and have it more abundantly. We thank you, Father, for this first day of the week. Woke us up this morning, Lord, and open our eyes and have this opportunity to witness the wonderful world, earth that you created. Thanking you for your power, Father, knowing that, Lord, that in spite of all the grievous things that's going on in our world, in our country, we know, Father, that you hold the future for each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, that we can always depend on you to direct our steps and our thoughts. And that, Father, when we make plans for our life, that we'll always include you, knowing, Lord, that you know how all things will end and how all things will work out. We thank you, Father, for the best of health and strength that you've bestowed upon each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, that we can use it in a way to reach out and try to help others to do what we can, Father, and to do it according to thy will. Lord, we thank you for the lesson that Brother Norman has prepared. We thank you, Father, that we have the ears to hear it, to think upon it, meditate upon your word, use it in our lives day by day. We pray now, Father, for all of the precious souls that are on our prayer list. We have so many, Lord. We pray, Father, at this time that you whisper tender mercy and encouragement in their ears to strengthen them, Lord, and to let them know that no matter what they are going through, that you're more than capable of giving them the confidence and encouragement that everything will work out. We pray, Father, for those that have degrees of difficulty in their life, families. We pray, Father, too, that you will reach out and touch even every one of those precious souls. Let them know, Lord, that you said you would never leave them or forsake them. As we go through this worship service this morning, Lord, we pray that all that we say and do will be in perfect harmony and will always find favor in thy sight. For it is in Jesus' name we give you praise, we give you honor and glory. Amen.
Sing the first and last verse of this hymn, 542.
God sent his Son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lives and dies. Savior lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know. And life is worth the living just because he lives. And in one day, I'll cross the river, I'll find my fight, no war with. And in that death, his way to victory, I'll see the light, the glory, and I'll know he lives, because he lives, I can.
This time we've come to the portion of our worship service this morning where we reflect and remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I just wanted to read a couple of verses this morning to provide some scriptural background and reference for the Lord's Supper. This will be taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, and I'll start at verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the churches there at Corinth. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And brothers and sisters, clarified other places as well that this is, including Acts 20 and verse 7, that this is indeed an action of worship on the first day of the week. And not to be confused with a common meal or some other festival. Lord's Supper consists of two emblems, the bread, which represents Christ's body, and the cup, or the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. As we just read in our scriptural reference, we'll do the same. We'll give thanks for the bread and partake, and then we'll do so for the fruit of the vine. So at this time, would you bow as we give thanks for the bread? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne this morning, Father. This time, Lord, ever mindful and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. For his willingness to go to the cross, be that perfect Lamb of God, Father, sacrifice for which we're all offered the chance for eternal life, Father. And Lord, at this time as we're about to partake of this bread, Father, which represents his body, Father, we pray that you'd help clear our hearts and minds, Father, that you'd help us to reflect back to the cross, reflect back to Christ Jesus, Father. And that in doing these things, Father, we might partake of this bread in a way and in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Lord. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let us bow and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Well, kind and merciful Father, we thank you so much. We're so grateful and so thankful for the precious blood of Christ Jesus. The power that he had in his blood washes away our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For it is in his name we give you all praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible somebody might have inadvertently been overlooked in the passing of the bread or the cup. So if you happen to be missed in partaking of one of the emblems, would you signal to us at this time by raising your hand, and you'll be served at this time. I don't see any hands, so that concludes the Lord's Supper. And next we'll address another act of worship on the first day of the week, and that concerns giving. And I wanted to read a couple set of passages pertaining to giving as well. First, it'll come from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's starting at verse 1 there. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And that establishes a giving as part of our worship on the first day of the week. Next, I want to read from the book of 2 Corinthians. This will be chapter 9, starting at verse 6. This is still the Apostle Paul writing here, 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Although it's indeed a commandment and act of worship on the first day of the week, our mindset as Christians, as we have that opportunity to give back, it's really a chance to show God just a small portion of our thankfulness for all He's richly done for us. It should be viewed as an opportunity that we have to give back and not as something that would be a requirement that's imposed on us. So let's keep that in mind, brothers and sisters, as we have that opportunity to give back now. And before we do so, would you bow with me and we'll give thanks for that opportunity. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, once again we bow before thy mighty throne, Father. Once again, Father, at this time, ever mindful and thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. And Lord, at this time, Father, as we have that opportunity to give back a small portion of what you richly blessed us with, Lord, we pray, Father, that we'd have the right heart, the right mind, Father, and that the contribution collected, Father, would help to further the work of the church here, Father, and help to spread thy gospel, Lord. We ask these things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Would please mark the hymn book again, number 889. 889 would be the song of invitation. 889. And after marking that hymn, if you would please turn the hymn book to hymn number 480. We'll sing all three verses of this hymn. 480. And I'll ask at this time, if all those who need to stand, please stand.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning, of then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and knew him, and all my love is due him. He is the one to me, to victory, beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. He made the pain to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, did he? Come and heal my broken spirit. I then obeyed his blessed command and gained the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. bought me and bought thee with his redeeming blood. He loved me, yeah, I knew him, and all my love is through him. He belongs to me, to victory, beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a man just, he is still for me in glory. And I heard about a street ago, beyond the crystal sea, about the angel singing, and an old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing of death the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and and all my love is through him. He belongs to me, to victory, beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, yeah, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He belongs to me, to victory, beneath the cleansing blood.
The sermon title to today's lesson is How to Get Closer to God. And the scripture reading is taken from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. That's verse 17 through 24. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Brother Norman.
Again, just want to say good morning. Surely God has once again been good to us. He has spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest, and for those who have called in on our conference call as well. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we just again thank you for this day and thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity you've once again given us to assemble ourselves together this morning to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and for those who have called in as well on our conference call. Now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, the things that it has to say to us. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, that we have taken inventory on our lives, and if there be things that we have fallen short of, give us the courage to make the necessary correction before it's too late. Forgive us of any sin we have committed through thought, word, or deed. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to consider how to get closer to God. Now, one might think we need a reason, or we don't need a reason, to understand why getting close to God is crucial to growing in spiritual health. But let's just sum it up by saying this. The further away you get from God, the more your life is troubled. But the closer you get to God, then the more your life is transformed. And so I'm assuming this morning that we all want to get close to God, because you are here this morning, because you have tuned in on our conference call this morning. But understand this, is that the fact that you can be here and still not be close to God. You can call in, but yet still not be close to God. So today we're going to talk about how to get close to God, how to stay close to God, and if you are falling away from God, how do you get back in close relationship with God? And so today we're going to look at Luke chapter 15. But in order to understand verse 17 through verse number 24, then you have to look at the preceding, the verses before that. What has transpired from the earlier verses to get us to this point on today. And so Jesus, he told the parable of the prodigal son. And many times we have heard this sermon in different ways over and over again. And so Jesus tells this story of the prodigal son in response to the Pharisees' complaint. When you go back to verse number 2, you will notice their complaint. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And so what he wanted them to understand is that he wanted his followers to know why he chose to associate with sinners. And so the story begins with a man who has two sons. The younger son had asked his father for his portion of the family estate as an early inheritance. And so once he received that, the son promptly he set off on a long journey into a distant land. into a far country that he knew nothing about. And the Bible says that he began to waste his fortune on wild living. And when the money runs out, a severe famine hits the country, and the son finds himself in dire circumstances. And so he takes a job, the lowest job that you can find. He takes a job feeding pigs. And eventually, he grows so destitute that he even longs to eat the food that is assigned to the pigs. And so it was in this hog pen that this young man had a change take place. This young man had a remembrance of back home that takes place. And so when you get to verse number 17 through verse number 24, we're going to learn four things that we need to do to get close to God. And this is the pathway to spiritual transformation. The first thing that I consider to you this morning is there in verse 17. And that is, you got to get fed up. You got to get fed up. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, and when he came to himself, nothing is going to happen in your life until you first get dissatisfied with things as they are in your life. If you think that you are just fine, if you think you don't need improvement, if you think you don't do anything wrong, if you think you got it all together, I'm here to tell you this morning, this lesson won't mean anything to you. And so you will leave here the same way you came in here. Nothing is going to happen until you recognize your need for change. You got to get hungry. You got to get serious for change. Nothing happens until you get fed up. In Matthew chapter 5. And verse number 6 in the NIV, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Are you there yet? If not, just give it some time. Because listen to me, God will go to work in your life to develop a holy dissatisfaction in you. He'll let a little rain in your life. And if that doesn't work, he'll send a little bit more rain in your life. And if that doesn't work, he'll send a storm in your life. Why? Because though God loves you just the way you are, he loves you too much to let you stay that way. He will do what he can to keep you from wasting your life and missing heaven. But it's left up to you and to me. For in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but they all should come to repentance. I'm here to tell you this morning that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. But you can salt his oats and make him thirsty. And y'all will catch that later on. God often makes you thirsty by putting some salt in your oats, whether it's to bring you to Him or whether it's to bring you back to Him. God will work to make you aware that you are headed in the wrong direction. Now, He really doesn't have to do too much, because you'll be doing most of the work for Him. What do you mean? When you're going away from God, you will be your own worst enemy. Just like the young man in the parable. When he went into the far country, he was his own worst enemy. But just know that when you get fed up, when you decide you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you realize that you are moving farther and farther away from God, when you come to yourself, that's God knocking at your door. And so God wants you to get back close to Him. But church, listen, you have got to get fed up. And until you get fed up, nothing is going to change in your life. The second thing that we see in the text is in verse 18. In verse 18, not only do you got to get fed up, but you got to own up. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, notice, "And I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven and against thee." I own up to my own sin. See, you got to own up to your own sin. And nothing is going to happen in your life until you own up. See, a lot of people today are fed up, but they want to blame something or someone else for their dissatisfaction. And so they look everywhere but to God to fulfill them. They blame others for their troubles. They blame God for their troubles. They look everywhere else but to themselves and for someone or somebody to blame for their trouble. How do you spell blame? It's B-lame. Y'all still in? It's being lame when you blame other people and things for your spiritual condition. And so you got to begin to look within yourself. You got to own up and say, "Lord, I made a mistake. Lord, I sinned." And until you do, nothing will change in your life. The reason your life is a mess is because you are living life your way. Well, let me give you a news flash. When it comes to life, you don't know what you are doing. And so the author of life can give you in living life to the fullest. That's why He's been salting your oats. As we said, He's calling you to get fed up, to own up to the fact that your problem is going your own way instead of going His way. So the Bible calls this sin, and sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59 and verse number 2. And so whether I'm coming to God for the first time or returning to Him, I need to own up to the fact that my problem is I've been going my own way rather than going God's way. And so I need to admit my sins. And I need to recognize that forgiveness is available because God paid the penalty for sin by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I need to admit my sins and turn to God. But the problem with too many people is that they are not fed up. And if they're not fed up, they're not going to own up. And so you got to get fed up. The prodigal son was fed up. But watch this. As long as he was rehearsing what he was going to do, he was still in the pig pen. He had to put what he was going to do into action. So in verse number 20, notice, not only did he rehearse it, but he put it into action. The Bible says he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a far way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck. But notice, he arose. He didn't just let that rehearse in his mind. But he did something about it. Many people today, I know I need to get right. I know I need to change. As long as you are rehearsing it in your mind, you're still going to be in the pig pen. You're still not going to do anything until you make up your mind and go and do. And so we see this. Once you're sufficiently fed up, you're going to own up. You will say, I've been going my way too long. I got to turn to God. And then I turn to God. And when I do that, what is God's response to my facing up to my sin? Church, he will freely forgive. God will forgive us. Psalms 51, you read that, verse 1 through verse number 4. So when you own up to your sin, you recognize that your problem is that you are in rebellion, going your own way as opposed to going God's way, which leads you to cleanse and forgive you. And guess what? He'll do that when you own up. But then the third thing that I see, he got fed up, he owned up. But in verse number 19, you got to offer up. Look at verse 19. He says, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But notice what he says. Make me. Make me one of your hired servants. If you want to draw close to God as one coming to him for the first time or as one returning to him, then you need to offer up your life to him. And so we find this young man did. He got fed up. He came to his senses. He owned up. He said, I've sinned against heaven and against thee. But then he offers up. Now notice how in verse number 12, Jesus said the son drifted away saying, give me. But in verse 19, he comes back to his father and he says, make me. Y'all see that? Give me. And now he says, make me. Like one of your hired servants. Church, this is a transformation. Until your heart moves from self-centeredness about you to God-centeredness about him, nothing will change. This transformation doesn't happen overnight. But there is a decision that starts the process. And so the starting point is what the prodigal son says, make me. That's the starting point. That's offers up. Make me. Transform me. Change me. God, I don't want to live the rest of my life the way I'm living right now. Change me. No transformation will happen until you offer up your life to God. Look at the Father's response. Verse 20 through 23. Notice. And he arose, came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and said, I told you so. No. The Bible says he saw him. He had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, listen, father. I've sinned against heaven. In thy sight, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But look what the father did. The father said, listen, servants, this is what I want you to do. I want you to bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring him hither, the fatted calf, and kill him. Let us eat and be merry. Notice in the text, this father didn't wait for the son to come home. While he was still a distance, the father ran out to where he was. I'm here to tell you, God is waiting for this moment in your life. He's waiting for you to get fed up with your life, to own up to your sins, to offer up life to him. And when you do, he's ready to receive you. But notice what he invites you to when you come to him. A celebration. Oh, celebrate. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. More so than 99 just men that needed no repentance. How do I get close to God? Well, I need to come to him. I return to him. The path is basically the same. I get fed up. I own up. I offer up. But if I'm going to remain close to God, the fourth thing that I see is in verse 24. And that is, you got to lift up. Look at verse 24. For this is my son. Was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. they began to be merry. In other words, you got to lift up and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you ever done. I could have been lost in the pig pen, but Lord, you gave me another chance. We could have been dead, but God gave us one more sunny day to make it right with Him. You ought to come in here and say thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank Him for His love. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for allowing you to live just a little longer. Thank Him for today that you have a chance right now to get it right. Lift up your praise, and through lifting up our praise and thanksgiving to God, we stay close to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm here to tell you this morning, be cheerful no matter what. You got to pray all the time. Whatever happens in your life, God is in control. So the questions that I leave to you this morning, what about you this morning? Are you fed up? Then own up. Are you willing to own up? Then offer up. Are you willing to offer up? Then accept the Father's invitation to lift up your praise and thanksgiving to Him. And I guarantee you, watch the difference that God will make in your life. Are you close to God this morning? If not, you got to get to the point that I get fed up, that I own up, that I offer up, and that I lift up to God for giving me this opportunity to make it right with Him. You've heard God's word. Believe it to be true. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. Then, this will make you a Christian, nothing but a Christian. Lord adds you to His church, live faithfully unto death. You'll receive a crown of life. If you're here a Christian, what do you stand with God? What about your relationship with God? Are you close to God this morning? Now is the time to make it right. Don't put it off. The rest of this day is not promised to any man. The only time that you have is right now. Come right now. We stand and sing the song of encouragement. Won't you come?
Have you a heart that's weary? Send me my Jesus.
Loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day of life, Heavenly Father, another day to come together on this Lord's Day, Heavenly Father, partake unto this worship service unto you, Heavenly Father. We're also thankful, Heavenly Father, for the lesson that was brought to us this morning by our brother Skippy. We're so thankful and appreciative of the time and effort that he puts into each of these lessons, Heavenly Father, and we pray that which we have learned today that we can apply to our daily lives, Heavenly Father. And we're just so grateful, Heavenly Father, for all thy blessings, so many blessings, Heavenly Father, that we couldn't even count all the things that you do for us each and every day, Heavenly Father. Continue to watch over us, you guide us, comfort us, Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that we know that we don't have to be overwhelmed by any fears or any doubts, Heavenly Father, any issues that we face. For we know that we have this avenue of prayer, that we can come to you, that we can bring any problem, that you will not allow us to bear anything and let it overwhelm us, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, also that you continue to be with those that are sick, that you return unto them their much-wanted health, that you will be with those that may be traveling at this time or that will be traveling, and we pray that you will keep them safe, Heavenly Father, and that you'll watch over us as we begin this new week, Heavenly Father. Continue to keep us safe and healthy, Heavenly Father. We know that we still have the COVID-19, Heavenly Father, and other issues out there, Heavenly Father, that you continue to watch over us. Watch over us until that next appointed time that we meet again, Heavenly Father. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry about that. Again, just want to thank you for tuning in on our services today. Hope it's been a blessing to you. On Wednesday night, we have Bible class at 7 o'clock, or you can tune in on our conference call as well. Just pray that you have a good day today. May God bless you. Goodbye.